Wednesday, September 10th, and we're even hopping on the live stream a little bit early because we got enough to talk about here with our friend Sam Batesh, who normally joins us on a Thursday, but today he stops on by one day early. Better early than late, that's for sure. Sammy, always good to see you, everybody. Thank you for being here. Hit like and subscribe on both of these channels, not just Damon Bruce Plus, but Thinking Out Loud with Siciliano and Sam as well. What's going on, brother?
I am so fired up. Week one, you know, we have done so much great content without being handed the gift of the NFL season. And I just want to commend you for what you've done, you know, for all of the days leading up to this. This is now it gets so easy. This is like having a donut on your bat in the on deck circle. And then you lose the donut and you go to the plate. And now the bat feels like it's half as heavy as it was.
You can just swing freely. This is easy now, right? And God bless the 49ers who have taken a good 8 weeks of NFL headlines and crammed them into the first like 4 days of their season. It's nuts. The amount of change and the ripples that are always running through the 49ers, you'd think they'd want to calm that down through some prudent decision-making made months ago, but no. Why do today what you can put off for tomorrow and waste a whole bunch of time today by not doing what you need to do because you're going to do it tomorrow? And it's kind of driving everybody nuts. So look, it's great to have you here. Thank you so much for coming on by once again. Again, like and subscribe if you would, please. And let me just say thank you to Ike of Ike Sandwiches. I'm telling you, tackle dinner at Ike's. Forget about lunch. You can have straight up dinner at Ike's and look at all of these football collaborations he's had with, dude, he's got a Willie Gault sandwich for
goodness. That's great.
He's got the beast mode, the Marshawn Lynch. He's got a lot. You can try a Jeff Garcia when you get to Ike's. Get yourself to Ike's and get yourself a delicious sandwich. We love that guy. Speaking of an awful lot of love, we got crazy love for the Dubliner West Portal. Let me just drop my logo so you can see theirs for a second. Look at the Dubliner West Portal. And we certainly hope to see you there on October 4th, starting at 4:20. Oh, we're going to get going at the Dubliner. And rumor is, Sam, trying to get a hall pass.
Yep. We're going to make that happen. What a Saturday that would be. What a Saturday that would be. Oh, my God. Let's go.
If that happens, don't get me excited. And I do want all of you to get excited about America's fastest growing new app. Check out Sleeper. If you are thinking about making some plays, making some picks, going over under on some player props, you'd be crazy not to do it on Sleeper. Sleeper has instant up-to-date information. Incredible user interface. It really is fantastic. And right now you get a $100 deposit match up to $100 when you use the promo code Damon. You just click on the link in the description of this video and voila, you are having fun. Of course, do so responsibly.
Leave the Sleeper piece up for a second. Leave it up. Bonus Sleeper here. So my cousin Joe, who is a huge fan of what we do here, he's a fan of both of us and he loves our content. And when we're together, he's just really excited about it. So we were just having a natural conversation about the disaster of our fantasy teams through 1 week. Yes. And he's sending me, and of course he has three teams. I do have a rule about having three teams. Don't do it. It's that simple, but he has three. So he's kicking himself for having three teams, but he's sending me the scores of his games, right? And lo and behold, what does he send me? But he's already involved. He's sending all, and I'm saying, what that logo looks familiar. What is that? He's involved in a Sleeper league already. So he knows the power of what Sleeper is. And even though he didn't win week one, he will get better because of Sleeper.
Yeah, I didn't win week one either. As soon as Sam Darnold hit the over on 8.5 rushing yards, I was done with my parlay. Damn you, Sam Darnold. But look, the 49ers won that game, and now they are off to New Orleans, and they're going to show up in New Orleans a different football team than they showed up with in Seattle, and that's because we might not be seeing Brock Purdy. Again, Sam, there is no team in football that has the "Hey, I didn't even know he was hurt. Now you're telling me he might not be available" level of injuries that the 49ers did. Brock didn't bring it up once in the post game. He didn't, and not a single reporter was clued in to Brock's toe or shoulder or anything aching until the very next day you find out, oh, he might miss the New Orleans game. And we'll talk about what that could mean for Mac Jones in a bit. And obviously George Kittle is the huge story because he is on IR now. He's going to miss the next four games at the very least. How much of a season altering injury is that? And then of course the Jake Moody nightmare has come to an end. Eddie Pinheiro, come on down. You're the next up. And it's crazy it took so long to reach a conclusion that was screaming at the 49ers to do something about it. I'll tell you, you know when it was over? When all the knives were coming out for Jake Moody, you knew it was over when there was a story in the New York Post about how 49ers players were upset with that just means it's open season on Jake Moody. Your time's ticking when the New York Post has a Niners kicker rubbing team wrong way story.
Look, here's the interesting thing about Moody. And frankly, the theme of today could really be Damon told you so. It could be that. Now, I always represent the other side of it, Damon. I like to represent the calm in the room. And I like to say, you know what? I'm not going to panic about players not being signed or players being cut before things actually go wrong. I'm not going to talk about injuries until we actually don't have people available for week one. And then what happens? Week one completes itself and all of your greatest fears actually came true by Tuesday. It's unreal how every single thing you were worried about actually happened. We don't know about Juwan Jennings. We've got a serious injury in Kittle and Purdy. And we missed kicks easily with Moody. And we're talking about people like Kendrick. And we're talking about people like Kendrick Bourne. Yeah. So the funny thing is, I was ready to say I don't want to be the half glass, the glass half full all the time guy. I just wanted to be the let's wait for something to go wrong before we say it's going to go wrong. I'm willing to say right now, all of those things went wrong. Here's the good news. The silver lining is you're 1-0.
And they won.
Yes. So there's the silver lining. But and I want to say this, credit to the Niners, who we say don't act quickly on things. The Moody thing. Now, you could say maybe he shouldn't have played week one. I'm OK with we let him play week one with a quick trigger. That's OK to me. That's OK. You know, he's gone and something else is happening.
Like, thank you for finally paying attention to the screaming data points that the rest of us are able to see. I'm glad that that happened. And I guess I do appreciate the quick decision, but I can't give you too much credit on your quick decision when your quick decision probably should have been made 6 months ago. So you're not going to get too much credit for that. And also what disappoints me, again, I like the conclusion. I hate the journey that brought us here. I know you wanted to talk about a segment for later on in the show called, just saying, you know, kind of like a grinds my gears, yes. Like a Peter Griffin family guy segment. Yes. So we'll do our grinds our gears segment a little bit later, but I'll show you what I got up my sleeve right now for the grind my gears segment. What grinds my gears more than anything else is that you cannot hold a single word that the 49ers as meaningful. I mean, here's the thing. They wanted you to know that they had great conviction on Jake Moody and things that they knew about the guy or practices that we hadn't seen or reasons that we can't understand are the reasons why they remain so committed to this player. When really, if you are going to move on from a player after one missed kick, you didn't have that much conviction in that player after all, which means there shouldn't have been this huge dog and pony show that, you know, just talked about this marriage and how this is, you know, first of all, you never marry a kicker. You're only dating kickers. And the minute the date goes wrong, you have her leave the restaurant. You go get yourself another date. You go get yourself another kicker. The most replaceable. Plug one in, unplug the other out. They don't even practice with the team. You know, this whole journey started incorrectly when they took him in the third round. You'd only draft football players in the NFL draft. Kickers are not football players. Don't let them being on a football team ever confuse that fact, because the team will even tell you they're hardly even on the team. They're off on side fields. The coaches don't even talk to these guys. There's one job. Make your kicks. You can keep the job. Miss your kicks. Next person up. So I'm glad that it happened, but the fact it took so long, and think of all of the roster machinations they had to move around. Well, we need to have Greg Anthony in here. Now we need to have Juwan Jennings in here. So a kicker competition has to be cut short, but it was going to get cut short anyways. Now we have all these other things that we have to do because we just didn't make any conclusive decisions, and we let the gray area define our negotiations, not the black and white. And that's what drives me nuts about this team.
Well, who's the greatest hero of week one in the totality of the NFL schedule? You could say it was Matt Prater, right? The guy who ultimately made the biggest single play in a game that defined an incredible win was a guy who showed up on Thursday yeah. for the Buffalo Bills and then made that kick for them to come back and beat the Ravens. So that, Damon, goes to show you exactly what you're talking about. Kicker simply is the guy who happens to be wearing your team's jersey that week who lines up and makes the kick. That's it. Now, I was also marveling at this.
I was in a parking lot smoking cigarettes on Wednesday, and then he flies to Buffalo and wins a game.
And when I think about it, it made sense to me. I saw the Prater thing happen and I thought, you know what? How many kickers are really associated with teams, especially now that Tucker's out of Baltimore? And it's funny. Yes, the Super Bowl champs, Jake Elliott's had a long run with the Eagles. I thought, wow, this guy actually, I mean, think about it. He kicked in the Super Bowl they won in 2017 in that season, and he's still here kicking for that team. But guess what? That's unheard of. You don't see that anymore. There aren't the days of Adam Vinatieri being synonymous with a team, it's over with. Even everyone who heard Matt Prater made that kick that night, what'd you think in your mind? Maybe you remembered that he was with Arizona. That's probably the most significant stretch he's had in his career. But you're not thinking, oh, wow, Matt Prater of the Buffalo Bills. They made a kick. That's all you want to hear. They made the kick, period. That's all you want. And maybe I would say Butker with the Chiefs, who also had a fire drill moment on Friday night as well. But there's very few
special teams that was. That was incredible.
It's awesome. I mean,
you know, you might not like Harrison Butker and what he says and what he talks about, but man, that guy's a hell of a kicker. He does his job. And that was a fire drill field
59
goal.
Yarder. Fire drill 59.
Look at it this way. If we're up to the 49ers to pull that off, that ball would, there's no way that ball gets kicked into a men's room. I mean, it would just have been a disaster. And for the 49ers to have had such an off season of, we found religion on special teams. For special teams to have been that bad up in Seattle, like Brant Boyer, what would you say it is you're doing here? Like, you know, you had an 11th hour solution after you were with this team for 6 months, 5 minutes before the season started. You're like, let's trade for Sky Moore. Really? Sky Moore fumbled week one. Already, you know, it's already a freaking adventure on special teams for the San Francisco 49ers. And now the question is, on a scale of season altering to not that big a deal, what do you think 4 weeks without George Kittle looks like here for the 49ers?
Wow.
How about this? If it goes longer than 4 weeks, congratulations, season altering is officially on the table. I don't know if it is now, though. I really don't. And, you know, their big offseason acquisition was Luke Farrell, Jake Tungus, not Tungus, from AMPM.
I've got it there if you want to put it up, David.
Well, by the way, does anyone else remember this? Because Sammy sent me this picture over the weekend. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing this for? And then I remember Tungus.
This is a great bit, by the way. Our friend Chris Morales loved the Tungus character because Chris had a beard and at the time was really eating a lot of what Tungus would at an AMPM. He's not that way anymore, but he certainly used to be. And so we loved this character, Tungus. So it was on my mind. And as soon as I heard the call of Tungus winning the game for the Niners, I had to put this together and I sent it your way, hoping that you remembered Tungus from AMPM.
How stoned out of their minds was the advertising company that came up with Tungus for AMPM?
And it's supposed to represent too much good stuff, TMGS, and they made it just create a name, TMGS, Tungus. And now Jake Tungus is a star for the week in San Francisco. And by the way, if he's not looking at this opportunity to get connected with AMPM, he's out of his mind. This is an opportunity for Tungus to meet Tungus. I think it's got to happen.
He'll make more money off the field than he does on the field if he gets in right with the AMPM people and that massive conglomerate. It is really good to have everyone here. Please hit like and subscribe across both channels if you would, please. What is your panic level, though, without George Kittle? Is Tungus possibly a practice squad promotion for Braden Willis and Luke Farrell enough to get them through a month of no Kittle? I think it. How about this? It better be.
It has to be. And here's the good news. We haven't even really said Mac Jones and Brock Purdy, and I know we're going to get to that in the most significant way. I'll say this. Tungus made a catch that you would think only Kittle could. When Purdy throws that ball, we think, oh, wow, it's an interception, or it's maybe going to be out of bounds. The fact that Tungus comes down with that ball was shocking to everyone, maybe including Jake Tungus in that moment, because he had to rip it away. I believe it was Tariq that he took it away from. Tariq Woolen, I think, is who he took it away from. Incredible play for him to come down with that ball. So you're right, Damon. I mean, look, that is the definition of contested. I mean, look, frankly, I bet it was. I missed it on Monday night. Was that on You Got Mossed? Because it absolutely should have been.
Tungus. Not only should have gotten credit for the touchdown, he should have gotten credit for the interception as well, because that was going to be picked. That ball was going to Seattle, and it was going to be Purdy's third interception of the game. And what a different show this is if it is one touchdown, three interceptions, as opposed to two touchdowns, two interceptions for Brock Purdy, and the 49ers win the game, so everyone gets to go home happy. But that was a bad throw, and Tungus came from around his defender to basically, you know,
He stole it. He stayed much like Josh Allen, who, by the way, I think Josh Allen wasn't throwing that touchdown pass that got them within. I think that didn't ultimately win the game, but it got them back in the game. The throw that Josh Allen made to the back of the end zone to Keon Coleman, two other Bills touched that ball that weren't supposed to. He was throwing at to the receiver in the middle, and it was Knox who reached back and touched it with his hand, and then it tipped to Coleman. Much like I think Purdy there, that's a prayer of a throw. That's one where you're not saying, all right, I've got this. But you know what?
Right.
Credit to Purdy, because sometimes, Damon, you have to trust your ability in that way. Yeah, you got to let it rip, and you got to say, I have the ability to put it close to him, and he's got the ability to come down with it. And he did. And in the end, it's not how, but how many. And that was 6 points that were absolutely necessary and crucial in that moment. And it happened. So to your point, I'm going to say panic meter because of the Tungus catch. At least there's a sigh of relief. And number two, when we get to Mac Jones, can we ask for a better opponent for being completely screwed on the depth chart than New Orleans?
It's the right time to be heading to New Orleans. You're right about that. And by the way, coming up in about an hour from now, I'm going to be doing an interview with a guy who is a content creator out of New Orleans. He's called Hold the Mayo.
And oh, I love that. Wow.
He is fantastic. And we're going to get into how this is the right team for the 49ers to run into. And can Mac Jones lead them? Yeah, into this game, I really do. I think he could. And there's an element of this that I'm trying to, I guess, put a skirt on this, a little lipstick on the pig, if you will, because the answer is Brock, please let it be Brock. It should be Brock. Hopefully it's Brock. I'm still holding out hope that it will be Brock. But apparently that toe is bothering him more than the shoulder. And so, you know, again, it's just the Saints. And I don't mean to be, you know, dismissive of them, but they look very beatable. What I don't understand here is that if Brock is out, your depth chart will be Mac Jones and then what, Adrian Martinez.
Adrian, yeah.
Who was just signed on August 28th. Now, quick question, two questions. Who and why? What do we have a preseason for? What do we have training camp for if the players that you have participating in your training camp can be completely replaced by guys nobody knows right before the actual regular season starts? What is going on? Like, I saw today Matt Barrows is saying that the 49ers could actually grab C.J. Beathard off the Lion practice squad. You know, not a great move, but C.J. Beathard.
Well, he's got familiarity.
He's familiar with Shanahan's playbook, and Beathard has had a degree. The only degree of success he's ever had in his career has been with the 49ers, so that's a maybe. But why Carter Bradley all training camp long? Why was Tanner Mordecai ever put on this team in one way or another if he is completely not even to be considered element on the quarterbacking depth chart right now? Why did you all bring Nate Sudfeld back for 24 hours just to get to Adrian Martinez, who I don't even... Who?
No, again, this is the guy that came in for Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. So again, there's familiarity with Saleh, I guess. I mean, what would that matter at this point, right? I mean, it seems completely useless. And again, this is about Mordecai. And I want you to ask Larry this. What's going on with Mordecai, Damon? Because you have a guy like that who ultimately is still a step away from getting on the field. You have him for exactly this. This is where he, all of a sudden, his butthole gets a little tighter because he realizes he could get on the field. And now he studies that much more and he's that much more in tune at practice. And it sort of forces him into the position that you know he could be in one day. This is exactly what happens, right? The stove gets a little hotter and now he's thinking like a starter for the week. That's what you need. You're developing the guy for exactly this. He's not starting, but he's a step closer to starting. Perfect.
A spot start.
That's it.
spot should arrive. That's what you're looking at.
I don't understand. Mordecai, you're right, because there's no point. Again, why are we just throwing money around? Mordecai's in the building, and he's a guy you want to develop for this spot. And frankly, and if he's not going to be that, then really send him with Moody. Let him drive Moody to the airport.
So apparently it was Kittle, it was Purdy, and it was Mordecai. And they were all down at Spyglass playing golf.
Ooh.
And apparently Mordecai is like a straight up scratch golfer. He is fantastic to the point where George Kittle turned to him and said, dude, you suck at football compared to how good you are at golf. Why don't you just try to be a golfer? And so maybe that's why it's not Mordecai, because he's already a better golfer than he is a football player.
And that's not great to hear. That's not great. Better than is not. Now, great golfer, I'm fine with. Better than football is not what you want out of your backup quarterback. That's not what you want. No, so
you really don't want that.
He's the least significant backup quarterback named Tanner in the league. The Eagles found one in Tanner McKee, even though he was unavailable due to injury. But again, Mordecai's a guy who, again, I trust in Larry with these things. Larry's better at taking out the microscope and finding out that a guy's got something. He really just has a better eye that way than I do. You know, I feel like Larry's the guy in Casino looking at the diamonds, right? And making sure that there's
a little. He gets him one or two right every now and then.
No, I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm not saying.
Yeah. Smith and the guy's not even in football. So
I'm not saying right. I'm not saying right or wrong with Larry. What I'm saying, Damon, is that he's better at going to those minute points, right? He's better at deciphering whether a guy sort of got the it you're looking for than I am. That's all I'm saying. So he saw what I want to know from Larry is you saw something there. How come it's not as obvious to the team? That's my only question. As it should be.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of things that the 49ers look at, and then you go, what the hell were you looking at? Like drafting a kicker in the third round. Like I was saying yesterday, if I were an NFL team owner and my general manager is on the phone in an NFL draft about to draft a kicker, like I walk up to him, I take him out of the room, I put my arm around the shoulder, and I ask him if everything's okay at home. Like, is something wrong with you?
Hilarious, Damon. It's okay. This is hilarious. My only counterpoint is that you and I were in the building at the facility when the Raiders drafted not only a kicker, but a punter. Remember the Sebastian Janikowski, Shane Leckler draft? It produced both of those
both very good.
Very good. Very good for a very long time.
Better for the Raiders to have drafted football players. Imagine what they could have done with two actual football players than a kicker who I believe is the number one scorer in Raiders history.
Yes. Yes,
and
he is.
Hunter, who was, you know, for a minute there, we had Andy Lee at Candlestick, we had Leckler at the Coliseum, and we were Punt City USA here in the Bay Area. You know, the only part of the game that went really well for either franchise back in the day was the punts. But you know, how many titles did the Raiders win with those great special teams?
No, I mean, they were in the conversation, right? You know, those next couple of years they were, and then you're right. I mean, to your point though, that's what, look, I had to dial it back 20. See, that's 20 years. I just went in the time machine to take us to that day in the facility. Right. And even though that worked out, to your point, the football players are, it's better to take a swing with more guys that are going to be there for every snap, period.
Without a doubt. So Moody gets released. Eddie Pinheiro is now, it's on you, Eddie. Good luck.
That's it. Eddie P. Let's go. Eddie P. Let's go.
You get your you get your first kicks for the Niners in a dome. No wind. I like your chances. I really do. But why do the Niners drag things out so long? Again, whether it's negotiations or extensions for players that are going to the Hall of Fame eventually or roster decisions, why are the 49ers always in put off the real decision as long as we can mode? And it's really weird, and it's kind of amazing that they made such a swinging decision on moving on from Trey Lance. They moved on from Trey Lance faster than they moved on from a kicker in the third round. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it?
I want to let that be the last point. I want to let that be. That's a very good point, Damon. And it's stunning because it really should be reversed. That mentality has to be reversed. And I understand everything isn't in a vacuum, but you're so right. I mean, if Trey Lance ends up on the field for the Chargers this season and wins a game, or frankly, just outplays what we think he can do, we're going to look back and say, wow, the Niners could have had what they had in Purdy and developed Lance behind him and had the greatest, you know, quarterback room that we're talking about in the league.
It happened though. I mean, that those pieces just do not fit together in any timeline of how teams work though. So,
but it's
you don't
funny.
Get one without the other one failing. So
that's it. But it's funny. It's funny to say, moving on from the quarterback that, by the way, everyone would rather be correct about the quarterback. Nobody's going to fault you on the kicker thing. That's right. That happens. That just happens.
Fuji coming in with a super saiyan.
Love that. Awesome
merch. Damon, love the koozies. Jillian just put up some new merch for us. So thank you very much, Fuji. Appreciate you and the support. Joseph Ernberg, our $53 million a year quarterback, better effing play. Hey, you certainly hope he does. See, here's the thing. You miss Brock all of a sudden, don't you, Joseph? I mean, nobody hates Brock Purdy more than Joseph Ernberg. Now, all of a sudden, little absence might make the heart grow fonder, don't you think?
And by the way, who are the two quarterbacks I talked about in regards to $50 million to keep an eye on? So when we talk about Brock Purdy, I want you to remember these two guys. Trevor Lawrence, who you could say up and down. You can consider the competition. Yes, they beat the Panthers, but take a look at what Trevor Lawrence did that day. And the guy that nobody is less excited about a quarterback than Tua in Miami.
Oh, my God. Everything could be going wrong from a PR standpoint. Mike McDaniel is not going to make it to week 8 here, I don't think.
Wow. There might not be a worse $50 million investment in business anywhere. I dare you on this chat to find one. $50 million tied to what happened in Indianapolis against, ironically, Daniel Jones.
The Palmer's tree service would be about the only worse investment. Steve Ballmer's tree service. That would be it.
So again, you're right, Damon. You're missing Brock now, aren't you? You want Brock out there. Yeah.
I don't like her. I'm breaking up with her. Wait a minute. She was fantastic. I wish she were still in my life. Craig's Kitchen says Purdy was on film after the game and hugged Fred. No shoulder pain. Where gives Brock is fine, I think. Again, the toe is a bigger problem than the shoulder, Craig. That's what we've been told. But again, we were told that by Kyle Shanahan. And when it comes to Kyle Shanahan talking about injuries, don't believe a word. How much in the hot seat is Tua and McDaniel? Well, Tua's not in the hot seat. That's not how that works.
No, that's 50 mil chilling.
Yeah, Mike McDaniel is in a lot of trouble, and he just seems ill-equipped to handle it. Like, the all words out of Miami is that the team is already like, whatever.
Checked out. Yeah. We're talking about the definition of checked out. And in the NFL, what do they call it, Naaman? Not for long NFL. Mike McDaniel was a darling 18 months ago. A darling in this league 18 months ago. That's how quick it happens. And our friend Aaron Larsoul wondered if he would have been fired at halftime of week 1. That's how bad it looked in Indy.
No, don't miss him. I don't know if he is dying, earn your money. Look, Joseph, you want Brock Purdy starting for the 49ers because look at all the other guys who've started for the 49ers. And you don't get anywhere near the level of productivity that Brock Purdy gives you. I mean, one guy offers the chance to have a sunny day. Everybody else mostly means it's raining. So it's, come on.
And again, let's you and I, we did a lot of panic here. I hope everybody is, Ernberg, this should be a show for you. We have panicked. This is a 1-0 team that we are officially panicked. When you look at Kittle, we haven't even mentioned Jennings, by the way. That's hilarious. Also, the way that's working out right now. But right now, this is a team potentially without its quarterback and its tight end. But we're going to look at the positives. 1-0. New Orleans next. And if there's a Mac Jones game to circle on the calendar, and by the way, there's a lot of good dates on the calendar when you look at the schedule. Remember, my most precious offseason move that the Niners made was when the schedule was released. That was the number one offseason move, in my opinion, because of how much that helped the Niners. The schedule is crucial, and having New Orleans on it is nice right now. That is beautiful.
Arizona, that's what you want. Jacksonville. Then it's the Rams. So let's see if the 49ers can get out of the first 5 games of the year with 4 wins. I mean, New Orleans has to be a W. It really does. If they're going to reach that equation, and no matter who's going, I like their chances in New Orleans.
And I'll say, can I say this about New Orleans? Now, Damon, that was an excellent game. Actually, Arizona did not run away with that game. It was down to it. The Saints could have tied that game. And there was a third down play at the end of that game, which, by the way, you would say maybe should have been caught by the Saints to tie that game. But forget about that even. I just want to talk about the fourth down play. For those that are wondering how it's going to go with Spencer Rattler and the Saints at quarterback, if my quarterback on fourth down with the entire game on the line throws the ball out of bounds, if my quarterback on the most important offensive play we have of the game throws the ball out of bounds, he does not start the next week. How in the world do you throw it out of bounds on fourth down? Impossible to get 6 points with the ball out of bounds. Impossible.
Yeah, that's can't score inexcusable. The ball when the ball is in it does not count territory.
Inexcusable. And by the way, I don't think Sam Darnold was up to snuff against the Niners, but I think that also has to do with what we've talked about many times. Saleh and this defense, I know you're panicked about what happened on offense, but what happened on defense to finish that game, Darnold didn't just drop that ball. His line was pushed into him. He had no idea that his lineman was right behind him when he came back with the ball. The reason his hand was empty moving forward is because his own lineman knocked the ball out of his hand because the Niners had pushed that up and Bosa was all over it in collecting that ball as well. So from a defensive standpoint, Saints are going to have a rough day. Remember that.
What, if anything, did we learn from week one?
Oh.
What if anything, are you taking away is, okay, now you got a clearer picture. You think it, you know it. I mean, it's easy to go to that Sunday night game and say that we just got an AFC title game preview. Maybe the Chiefs have something to say about that. There's going to be another team in the AFC that ends up being the surprise. You know, who knows who that team will be. But, man, the Ravens and Bills put on a hell of a show. I don't know if we learned anything definitively, but I do have something that's more of a bird's eye view than it is focused on any one thing. Real quick, what did you learn, Sammy?
So about that, first of all, about that Bills and Ravens game, I do want to say one thing. What I learned is go get your Chiefs future for the Super Bowl right now. You're going to get your best price on it right now. Now, yes, they could lose to the Eagles, but I don't know that I want to take that chance because they're going to feel like their whole season is predicated on that game. They could beat the Eagles at home, of course. But the fact that you've got Buffalo and Baltimore looking as good as they did Sunday night when Friday night the Chargers beat the Chiefs, get your future on the Chiefs right now to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, because I think you've got three things happening at once. They're at a loss. Buffalo and Baltimore both looked like world beaters in that game. So right now, the AFC looks up for grabs. The thing I learned, and we already touched on it a little bit, without question, the Dolphins, who people did not have pegged as the worst team in the league, there isn't a more inept organization at the moment in this league than the Dolphins, coupled with the fact that what I thought would happen for the Raiders has happened. This will be a watchable, respectable product all season. We don't have to say playoffs. We don't have to see AFC West champions. But in a game where Ashton Genty didn't set the world on fire, we all think New England is an improved team. That is a road game in Vrabel's debut. And the Raiders and Geno Smith, despite the one interception, Geno looked pretty damn fantastic. That team looks ready to play. You can tell me it's a week one overreaction. That is a real opponent. On the road, week one, new coaching staff, new quarterback, new running back, new offensive coordinator. I'm sorry, that looked good. That was a primed team against a real opponent. The Raiders will be interesting the rest of the season, period, mark it, book it. That's what I learned.
For our friend JT the Brick, I hope you're right. I think the Raiders are trying to start 2-0 for just like the What did I say? I saw it earlier. I think it was Dubow. Let me see if I can bring this up real quick here. But I mean, this is officially like,
okay. How long has it been?
The Raiders are seeking their sixth 2-0 start in the last 30 years.
Wow. Wow.
The Raiders have been 2-0 five times in the last 30 years. They're trying to reach six with the 2-0 start this time around. We'll see if they can do it. Here's what I learned. Because, you know, I think now any results other than, you know, like you looked at the Ravens and the Bills and you said, both of these teams look like they're in midseason form. They look like this isn't their first football game of the year. This could be their last football game of the year. Everybody looks pretty frosty and ready to go. But I really don't know what we learn about any of these teams because special, you know, the preseason is used so differently that a lot of that preseason rolls over into the month of September. And I don't know if we really learn that much about anything, but I do think that I know this now conclusively, and that is the value of one Super Bowl. It just changes everything. How much better of a coach is John Harbaugh than Kyle Shanahan? Really? How much better of a coach? Because John Harbaugh continues to blow more double-digit 10-point second half, fourth quarter leads than anybody in football. Now, we all know the Ravens are a very good football team, but what have they been defined by? Close, but not close enough over the last handful of years with Lamar winning MVPs, but they can't reach the Super Bowl, much less go win another Super Bowl. But because of Joe Flacco and that night in New Orleans and the fact that his brother didn't give the ball to Frank Gore on fourth and win a Super Bowl, John Harbaugh gets to remain the head coach of the Ravens and exist in a neighborhood that Kyle Shanahan could only dream about. Only dream about. John Harbaugh lost that game on Sunday night when he's averaging 9 yards a carry and then doesn't go for it on fourth and three and gives the ball back to a red-hot Josh Allen. John Harbaugh is a very good coach, but B, an overrated coach, and C, wouldn't even have his job anymore had his brother given the ball to Frank Gore and him not had the Super Bowl, which remains. Harbaugh is still with Baltimore because of a Super Bowl.
I want to go back to that night. I want to go back to that night in New Orleans after the power went out. First down was handed to LaMichael James. Second down went to Crabtree in the corner of the end zone. Third down went to Crabtree in the corner of the end zone. Fourth down, Kaepernick, Crabtree, corner of the end zone. It didn't happen on three straight plays. I hate the fade in the back of the end zone. It requires so much from your receiver. It requires so much. And I think unless you have Julio Jones, Andre Johnson, Calvin Johnson, that's just not a play to run at all. You have to have a guy that is physically more dominant than the DB. And that was brutal. I love your idea, though, about what that Super Bowl does as a sigh of relief for everybody, because there's that moniker. You can't do it. You can't do it. And then there's this guy figures it out. This guy's a genius. This guy gets it. And when the chips really matter, he knows what to do, even though, as you and I both know, that is at this point. Was that 2013? Was that the 2012 season? Or either way, that Super Bowl, what that means that long ago, how can it continue to define who he is? Now, he has his team in contention again and again and again and again in a division that we say is the hardest in football. So we do want to give him that credit. And you and I both like to say, be careful what you ask for, because the new guy starts 0-0. He doesn't get your 12 wins from the season before.
Right.
But it's a great point to make. Look at the coaches who win the Super Bowl and get to just sit on the idea that that happened once and we are now okay because of it. You're absolutely right. It's a very good point. And I still think Harbaugh, maybe I'm a Philly guy and I take it all the way back to when he was the special teams coach, but John Harbaugh, I believe in, because I still think schematically at the end of the day, he's putting his team in position and losing. Losing to Josh Allen, losing to Patrick Mahomes, I don't want to say that's not getting over a hump. There are going to be people in the world, you know, Patrick Ewing's not who he could have been. Karl Malone's not who he could have been. Michael Jordan's a part of that equation. And in this case, Patrick Mahomes represents that in the AFC. And so I don't want to tear Harbaugh apart, but I love what you're saying about what a Super Bowl win can mean. Shanahan certainly doesn't have that benefit.
I mean, my God, had Jake Moody connected on one point after touchdown, Kyle's got his ring, and the whole world revolves differently around the 49ers than it does right now. With just one Super Bowl, everything changes. There might not be a single greater force multiplier in a career than a Lombardi trophy. It changes the arc of everything and how people regard you, and your success and your failure is evaluated differently. And you're not on a week to week referendum of, can you even do the job anymore? Like John Harbaugh has shown you implicitly, he's not evolving. He'll take the cowardly way out. He'll punt when he should go for it. Yet he gets to exist, like with a lifetime contract, it feels like, in Baltimore, because of one Super Bowl. So, by the way, if you ever have a chance to win a Super Bowl, I highly suggest you do it. Take that chance. Do it.
I want to say one thing about his brother. One thing about his brother also, Damon. Jim, who lost in that Super Bowl, though, now gets the benefit of the doubt for the championship he won in college also. The Michigan thing.
No. Like, to me, Connor Stallions has so ruined that Jim Harbaugh does not get to walk around and parade that I am a champion now. I don't believe that at all. He was caught cheating. He's got a lifetime show cause. That should have been that title should have been stripped from Michigan, and every single one of their wins that year stripped from them. It is preposterous to call Jim Harbaugh anything other than a systematic cheater. That's how he won. So fuck him, if you don't mind me saying.
I want to let you have the last word on Jim.
By the way, did you make it through Spitgate all right? Jalen Carter. Here's another thing I don't like. So, you know, it's always the second punch that draws the flag. In this case, it's the second spit that draws the flag. Although spitting on the ground and spitting directly on someone are two totally different things. I don't want to hear like, well, he was spitting in the direction and therefore that was a spitting attempt. But no. The only thing I care about is where did your spittle land? One lands on the ground, there's nothing to discuss. One lands on me, we have to go straight to World War III now. That's how that works.
It was also, I mean, Damon, I want you to finish your point, but I got to say, as a fan of a team, you're always ready to yell at the referee for making a call, right? You're just waiting for the replay to come up so you can look at everyone in the room and say, how could they call that? I've never been more in my place and had my tongue taken out of my mouth than being prepared to say, how could they throw Jalen Carter out of this game to,
That's how.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so he actually made it in. What's amazing about the shot, by the way, the spit actually, it lands in between where the pads are. I mean, it like directly went into the Dak's undershirt and jersey. I mean, it was really a nice shot. Okay, I just have to get this off my chest about it. First of all, Jalen Carter, total moron. Not even the worst decision you've made in your life. You've made worse, and this one's bad, and it's now on the ledger, and it brings up what happened at Georgia. So brutal that you have to live with that all over again. You're the best player. I would say you're maybe the best player overall on the Eagles. I mean, Saquon Barkley, the totality of his career might say that he is, but Jalen Carter is right there for what he's supposed to mean for that team. Reprehensible, irresponsible, disgusting decision, and the right call to have him out of the game.
What I don't like is the time served.
Yes.
Like, here's the thing. If you are ejected from a game, that is discipline in the moment. If you determine further discipline is needed, you can't say time already served. That's what I don't like about it. Now, I wouldn't have suspended anybody. I would have just fined him and then said, you know, forget about the suspension, time served. We're not offering probation here. You know, you either think that the guy did something so reprehensible you're going to keep him out of the next game, or you don't. Like, it's the whole thing is candy ass to me.
Let me get crazy now for everybody. So get ready in the comment section. Get your cursor on the box that says comment and get ready for me to just go wild here. Jalen Carter, the $57,000 is irrelevant to all of us because it's irrelevant largely to Jalen Carter because the amount of money that he's going to make, and it'll be donated to someone amazing. And okay, great. End of that. He got suspended for the game. So that's one game suspension for him for spitting right there. And then Dak Prescott, you said it. If you watch the entire tape, Dak Prescott deserves punishment. The reason they're not giving another game to Carter is because it
doesn't deserve punishment
at all. It would. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. No. Dak Prescott, in a league that is trying to crack down on taunting, Dak Prescott deserves some punishment. And if they took Jalen Carter off the field for more time, the league would have to take Dak off the field for some time. There is no way. Spitting in the direction. I'm not suggesting that what Jalen Carter did was wrong. Dak Prescott, in a league that is cracking down on taunting, what Dak Prescott did is reprehensible. Now this is a big if, and I'm always the one who says the two greatest letters in sports that you can never say are I and F together, because that changes the entire conversation. But I'm going to say it now. If, let's just in our minds, say that Jalen Carter didn't spit at Dak Prescott. Okay, I understand that's wild, but let's just say it right now. Let's say that the footage this week that we were dissecting, Damon, was only, oh my God, did you see that Dak Prescott spit at the Eagles before that game? Spit in their direction before the game? Can you believe the disrespect for that?
Isn't everyone in Philadelphia some badass asshole, and you're going to let a little spitting rattle an entire city. You all sound like a bunch of pussies. First of all, just spit on the ground. There's a million spits in an NFL game. There's guys spitting all over baseball fields. Spitting, unless it hits somebody, is not an aggressive act of intimidation. It isn't.
But Damon, after you make a tackle at a guy, if you look at him and smile, you're given a 15-yard penalty. This is a league that doesn't like when you are putting celebration or emotion towards another player. That's what taunting is, towards another player. There is no question, if you watch that film, that Dak Prescott is spitting on the ground at Jalen Carter's feet. He is, without any shadow of a doubt in my mind. And frankly, Dak will only answer that question with a wry smile on his face. Oh, I just had to spit.
I'm going to go straight up NFL rules here. I don't want officials ruling on motivation.
Forget about motivation. Where did he spit? He spit at Jalen Carter, who was walking towards him. Dak Prescott, in the next game that these two teams play, should have to sit out a half of football. Dak Prescott should have to sit out a half of football the next time these two teams play. He is involved in this incident. He is a part of this incident. And the full breadth of the tape is what you look at. Dak spit at Jalen. Jalen spit on Dak. Yes, Jalen deserves a full game. Dak Prescott deserves punishment here. He's not getting it. That is ridiculous. Let me be not only an Eagles fan, but let me look at what happened on that tape. Everything in life deserves the totality and not to be taken entirely out of context. Jalen Carter did not just decide in a moment that he was going to spit towards Dak Prescott. He had spit that was towards him, and then he decided to spit on Dak. That is it.
Dumbest story the NFL will have all year. And everyone in Philadelphia, mostly you, Sam, who thinks that Dak deserves to be suspended. What the fuck sport do you pretend to watch?
And I promise you, the Eagles and Sirianni are petty enough that they've already written to the league about how outraged they are that Dak Prescott hasn't been suspended. I promise you that has happened. They are so pissed about the league trying to take away Tush Push. They are going to use every opportunity to yell at the league. And I promise this came up for them. And they have sent multiple angles of Dak spitting at Jalen to let them know. And even if nothing happens, it will change the way the league looks at it next time. Dak should be punished here as well.
He was fined. The other guy was fined. They've both been punished.
Jalen couldn't play a game at all.
Well, he got thrown out because his spit hit the person. The other guys did not. There's a big difference between the bullet that whizzes past you and the bullet that hits you.
That is very true. And Jalen is a better shot. I'll give him credit for that.
There you go. Look, we got Joseph Ehrenberg bringing it back to actual football, not Spitgate, says, without Kittle, what do you think the offensive game plan is? Well, it's an awful lot of McCaffrey. We certainly know that. And I just think it's got to be get Ricky Pearce all the ball. I mean, this is a guy who needs, you know, there are teams that determine player X is going to get like 10, 15 targets today. And it happens whether the guy's catching balls or not. They continue to target and go after somebody. And that's what the 49ers need to do. The whole, like, spread it around. Everybody gets a touch. That's not the world that I think they live in right now. You have to put the ball in the hands of the guys who are going to make plays for you. I would love to see an awful lot of Ricky Pearsall. I want to see Isaac Guerrero actually get snaps from scrimmage, get him involved, because it can't just be Christian McCaffrey gets 30 touches and we're going to give 10 token throwaway touches to Brian Robinson, you know, Jr. So a lot of Ricky. I think you got to go a lot of Ricky when you get to New Orleans.
Let me go counter to this. For everyone that drafted Christian McCaffrey, and you were excited because the Niners schedule was soft and he was going to be healthy and you got a chance to take him, other than he's been a top 10 fantasy player, and now all of a sudden you didn't have to get him in the top 10 and you got a chance and you took what you're considering a flyer on Christian McCaffrey in your fantasy league. This is the game you had circled, and this will be the game. This is a Christian McCaffrey coming out party against the Saints, who we know are not nearly the opponent at the level the Niners are. This is a game, especially if Brock doesn't play. Are you kidding me? Christian McCaffrey, you are the heartbeat of this offense. There is no Deebo Samuel. You are the alpha in this offense, and it will happen against the Saints. This is the Christian McCaffrey game. And if you need to use Brian Robinson a little bit, go ahead and do it. But pound the Saints on the ground.
Like and subscribe. All right, Sammy, just saying. Okay. Just saying. You wanted to do this segment, just saying, and being a TV guy, which you were, with someone who worked in the control room, you are more graphic sensitive than a lot of people are. Yes. We saw new score bugs getting rolled out, in college games per the networks. We got a new score bug for Sunday Night Football, very minimalist score bug, if you will. When it comes to score bugs, Sammy, you don't like this one.
Okay. So let's take a look here at what's going on. Now, I do want to say this about just saying in general. So when you are in an argument or frankly talking to anybody, whether your voice is raised or not, if you tell somebody, no, I'm just saying, can I remind you what you're actually doing? You're saying it. And yeah. Not only are you just saying, guess what the other person is doing? They're just hearing. So when you're just saying, you're actually saying it. I just want to remind you, just saying doesn't take away what you said. If you are just saying and it happened out loud, you are saying. So please stop with the expression just saying as we introduced.
No offense, but
no offense.
You're about to be offended by what I'm saying.
Exactly. So just saying is saying, because I'm just saying here that the metric to measure a quarterback in this league, where Josh Allen is the MVP and Lamar Jackson is the runner-up and Jalen Hurts is the Super Bowl MVP, in a world that we exist with those three quarterbacks I just named, why in the world are we telling you how a quarterback performed in a game by giving me completions, attempts, passing yards, touchdowns, passing, because and interceptions?
Because these are fantasy numbers that people want. This
guess
is how
what?
People score in fantasy.
And guess what? You're actually wrong, because you know what the best quarterbacks in this league do from a fantasy standpoint? They run the ball as well. Stop telling me that a quarterback had a good game or a bad game because of passes that he threw that weren't caught. It is so irrelevant. Completions and attempts. Give me completion percentage on a season. Give it to me for a month. In regards to what happens in a game, unless you're Jared Goff perfect on Monday Night Football against the Seahawks last year, I don't care how many completions and attempts you made. Here's what I care about as a quarterback, especially Sunday night when we had these two going nuts in regards to all that they can do from an athletic ability. This has to be part of the equation. Look at what Lamar Jackson does with his legs. 57 yards rushing and a touchdown. You don't think that is important when you're telling me what a quarterback did? This tells, I mean, but it's the totality of it, Damon. You don't think rushing yards matters for a guy like this? In a season, in a team that is as celebrated as the Bills have been in their history, the fact that Josh Allen has more, and by the way, he got another one right after this graphic went up, he's got the most rushing touchdowns in team history, and we don't want to include rushing in regards to his stats. Don't give me completion and attempts.
Maybe on another stat they did. In this moment, maybe in the next, very next second of frame, the rushing stats are flashed up next. I mean, To me, if you're asking, what do you really want? What's the one quarterbacking stat that I think needs more focus? Third down. What are you doing on third down? Are you keeping drives alive?
That's a great one.
On the field, I want third down. To me, third down is the quarterback's down. That's it.
That's great.
On third down. That's who you are.
It's the most important. But here's what I want to replace this. Even if you have only this much real estate. All right. And by the way, here's my problem with this is, from being in television and digital spaces as long as I have been, Damon, it's the fact that the default on quarterback, the automatic, all right, the number that you're going to get first is this. And it's now irrelevant for the way this game is played. This is unnecessary. Replace all of this. If you only have four columns, which they have here, right? Completions, yards, touchdown, interception. How about this? Give me total yards, because that matters. My quarterback, what he's doing with his arm and his legs matters. Just give me total yards. Then give me total touchdowns, rushing and passing. And then give me, by the way, is it important? Yeah, my quarterback sucks if he throws an interception. You know how he also sucks? If he loses a fumble. Tua was bad on Sunday because he threw interceptions and he lost a fumble. Give me total turnovers, total touchdowns, total yards. Because you know what? Even from a fantasy standpoint, that's giving me all that he did that day and all that will matter for my fantasy team as well. And guess who it also matters for? My actual team. Total yards, total touchdowns, total turnovers. That is the new stat line that matters for quarterbacks in this league. Are you telling me that the MVP Josh Allen doesn't do something with his legs? Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, these quarterbacks matter. They are. Patrick Mahomes is moving with his legs. Even Daniel Jones is in the end zone with his legs. We know that Brock Purdy gets away from trouble with his legs. What you do with your legs matters. Stop telling me that a guy threw interceptions. Stop telling me that that's the only part of the story. Stop telling me that there are incompletions.
I think you're getting way too upset at a graphic that flashes for 2 seconds and isn't trying to tell the whole story.
It is trying to tell the story because I'm telling you this. I don't like that it's the default, Damon. Stop making it the default and come up with something that tells the whole story because you can tell it to me in three simple columns. That's how my quarterback is doing. Total yards, total touchdowns, total turnovers, period.
Is the offensive line good enough? Hashtag Jewish cookies.
Commentosh
for everyone. And the offensive line is good enough, but that's all. It's just good enough. And
that's not great.
I think that's the right way to say it. They are good enough. Are you ready for a little history? We have some history for you.
I would love it, Damon. I would love it.
We start with a happy birthday to a man who is now 75 years old, even though he's the lead guitarist for Aerosmith. Happy 75th birthday to Joe Perry. Happy 76th birthday to Bill Will Do It Live O'Reilly. Yes. Happy 62nd birthday to the big unit himself, Randy Johnson.
By the way, quick timeout for those that haven't done it. And even if you have to leave this stream momentarily to find it, as long as you come back and like and subscribe for us. If you haven't seen Randy Johnson Bird, just type that into any search engine and just understand how amazing Randy Johnson is.
Everyone's seen that. Everyone's seen that dove explode or whatever that was, the pigeon. Don't leave the stream until it's over. Don't listen to Sammy. This guy's complaining about graphics and telling people to leave the stream to go watch a highlight from a spring training game from 25 years ago.
It's so unbelievable, that it poor bird.
That poor bird. Today in 1913, Sam, the Lincoln Highway opened. Do you realize that the Lincoln Highway was the first to connect both coasts? It went from New York City all the way out to San Francisco and Lincoln Park, which is now a golf course. And the end of the Lincoln Highway is approximately where the Legion of Honor is now in the Presidio. So there you go. Let's see. Today in 1919, we signed the Treaty of Saint Germain, which ended World War I. Thank God we put World War I behind us. But wait until you hear the sequel. It was a big deal.
That's a rough one, too. That was a rough one, too.
Yeah. I'll tell you, World War I trench fighting. Oh. No, thank you.
How about trench foot? You think turf toe's bad? How about trench toe? There was a lot of that, by the way. We'd have to cut your foot off or at least half of it to keep you rolling, by the way. So good luck with that. Ronnie Lott, you got nothing on that. Yeah.
Little Trench Town Rock from Bob Marley.
Ouch.
Let's see. Today in 1945, Mike the Headless Chicken became famous because he survived a pre-meal beheading and lived for another year and a half without a head. This is a true story. This is how the Headless Chicken Wives Tale was born. Mike the Headless Chicken today survived a year after having his head cut off.
I need documentation of that, and I want to know the definition of the word surviving.
It wasn't a great life, right? You know, but either way, that's a tough chicken. That's a tough chicken.
That chicken, yes, that chicken can teach a lot of NFL players some lessons.
We fast forward all the way to 1967, where The Who destroyed their instruments during the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour taping, and then destroying their instruments became their theme. I once heard what I think was Roger Daltrey said, how many more millions of dollars they would have had as a band had they not trashed their entire instruments
Amazing.
At the end of every concert.
That's tough. That's like Allen Iverson, who didn't travel with luggage and just bought new clothes in every city he traveled to as an NBA player and left them in the hotel when he was done. So hold on to some of that.
How to make great financial investments, how to make some bad ones. There you go. Today in 1984, Alex Trebek made his debut as the new host of Jeopardy. And needless to say, we still miss Alex Trebek. I used to watch a lot of Jeopardy. I don't anymore. And it's because Trebek's not there.
And you would think, you know, it's funny because we always say that in an NFL game, I'll watch anybody call the game and I'm not worried about who's on it. But in Jeopardy, that just simply is a different statement.
Today in 1990, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air debuted on NBC. I was never a big fan, never watched it much, but God, everyone around me sure did. What I was a huge fan of debuted today in 1993, The X-Files. That was really good.
And that song will just be forever ingrained in my head. That was done so well. And both of them had tremendous careers after that, which you would think, I mean, even if they were only known for that. And by the way, anytime you say about somebody, oh, that's, they only did that one thing, ask yourself if the world knows about one thing you've done. One hit wonder, just understand what one hit wonder means and ask yourself what your hit is
right
before you talk shit about someone who's had a one hit.
Right. One hit wonder. Those people live in mansions. Okay.
That's it. It's called a hit.
Yes.
That's a hit. So ask what your hit is.
So, you know, I've become friends with Mike Patton, who was the lead singer of Faith No More.
Okay.
And he is still to this day picking up dinner based on "You Want It All,
But you can't have it." Yeah. I mean, guess what? Take it and run with it.
Run.
And every time it plays, you're making cash.
Sammy, we laughed, we cried. It was better than Cats. Today, that came to an end. In 2000, after 7,485 performances in the year 2000, Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical Cats closed on Broadway, the longest running Broadway show until Andrew Lloyd Webber's other play, The Phantom of the Opera, surpassed it in 2006. How would you like to be? I have the biggest running play in the history of Broadway, and I've got the second longest running play.
Yeah, what'd you do next? One hit wonder, right? One hit wonder with Cats. What'd you do next? Oh, that. Nice run.
Cats,
nice run.
Cats. People made fun of Cats. By the way, I saw Cats when I was a little kid. It was magical. It was incredible.
Understand that movies open on a weekend and make a lot of money, and then the next weekend it's half or a third of that, and then they're out and it's done. And yet people were lining up to watch a play about singing cats, people dressed up as cats. Okay. So imagine being in a room to pitch that idea and how ridiculous it is. And yet again and again and again. And these aren't just people in New York City with lots of options.
Right.
Lots of options.
Shout out Rum Tum Tigger, wherever you are. Thank you very, very much for joining us here today. Like and subscribe again across both channels. Thanks to my man Ike for always supporting Damon Bruce Plus by being our primary sponsor. Our friends at the Dubliner throwing their doors open for us on October 4th at 4:20. It is the Saturday after the 49ers and Rams play that Thursday night game. We hope you meet us there at the Dubliner West Portal. And thanks again to our friends at Sleeper. You need to go ahead right now. If you would please check out the link in the description of this video today, click on it and get a $100 deposit match up to $100 by using promo code Damon. Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy betting app out there, and you will see why as soon as you open it. The interfaces really are fantastic. You're going to have fun over there on Sleeper. I always have fun with you, Sammy. Thank you so very much, my friend.
The best, Damon. This is a tremendous one. Week one celebrated, and we will do it again next week.
We will be back next week. Thank you very much for watching, and please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it, and like that, they're gone.